that scripture verse that I gave you the other day, it's from your mom. I have sent that out to probably 30 or 40 different places. And you remember Tammy Gressler? It was Gerton.
From California, I mean.
Tammy and there's Terry. And
we went to Disney, and she like hosted their beach.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Well, anyway, she lived down in Arizona.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I think in Arizona now. And I sent her a copy, and she called me this morning. And she was broken. And she said that was the most wonderful gift that she's ever gotten in her life. And she has it right out in the open where she can see it and where anybody else in the house can see it, you know. And because we were just talking about the issue of truth. And in John 17:17, Jesus is praying. That's a prayer chapter. And he says, actually, he says, Father, he says, sanctify them. Now, we know what sanctify, in the dictionary definition, we know what sanctify means. It may be holy or righteous or godly or I mean. But I woke up one morning and I thought, you know what? I think it's deeper than that. And so I got my commentary or my concordance out. And I looked and there's numerous meanings for some of these things. And in this particular place, sanctify meant to separate. You know, and so Jesus is saying, sanctify them, separate them unto yourself through your truth. Your word is truth. You know, sanctify them, separate them unto yourself. And which begin to make sense. Well, anyway, that scripture verse in the third epistle of John, in the fourth verse.
You know what scripture she's talking about. I don't know how I gave it to me.
Let me just rewind
a little bit.
Yeah, he gave that to me.
Okay, you know the scripture she's talking about. Okay. Which says what you quoted once for me.
Which one?
The one you're talking about, John.
4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's a verse that I said.
Right.
And it's like when I saw it, it's like after I've been listening to the scriptures for 20 years, day and night, I thought that it's like that's a brand new scripture. I've never seen it before. And it had such an impact on me because a number of years ago, one day I begin to realize that the truth, you know, truth is what God meant by what he said, not what somebody interpreted. You know, the Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, and yet we have thousands of private interpretations of the Scriptures, each one coming up with something a little different. And that's why we have the confusion that we do. So what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
And what is it? That's why Pilate asked Jesus. He says, well, Jesus says, I was born and sent to bear witness to truth. And Pilate says, what is truth?
Mm-hmm.
Well, truth is kind of whatever, you know, there's truth that is the conclusions of men's minds. That's truth. I mean, as far as people are concerned. And But there's also the truth. I mean, if God is the one that created all of this, and he is, then he's the one that decides what truth is. And so, you know, when you're in college, of course, and there's a lot of things that are true. Of course they're true. But the thing is, when it comes down to the bottom line, if God really did create all of this, then God is the one that has a say as to what truth is. That make sense?
Yes.
But anyway.
were saying, you know, it's taking us, because you, in your mind, it's taking you 20 years to you know, get here, but it's been longer.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know, I mean, it's taking you, ever since you,
it,
you know,
50 years.
Right. And it's like, man, it's taking us that long, but I just want to repeat, it's like, just, you gotta be, we have to be grateful that it at least got, it, at least we achieved whatever, something, not completed, you know what I mean? We gotta be grateful it was only 50 years. Some people in a lifetime don't achieve anything from God. And I know I repeated this in the past also, but, you know, some people, you know, it takes them so long to get to where God wants you to be, but that's not a problem. You know what I mean? That's not an issue for God. That's not a flaw. You know what I mean? Because God could kind of appoint you to be something or know something the day you were born, but it can take you until two breaths before your last to realize it, and that's all just fine. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
In God's time, He doesn't. Now, so in a way, that's set me free. In when I witness to people, you know, I always want to see people. I tell them, okay, hey, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or whatever. I mean, I'm just making this up, but and I want them grabbing the Bible and reading it and nonstop. You know what? That's not it. You just, and first of all, it has nothing to do with anything. It's not me doing any work, first of all. It's just God that appointed that person. And it just like it's taking heat, you know, 50 years or 20 years or whatever, however you want to put it, it might take that person so long. Or it might never grab it. But anyways, it sets me free that I'm not responsible. And I don't need to see fruits. It's none of my business. You know what I mean? Like, for example, Kelly Gunn or whatever, last name Williams. You know, she heard what we all heard 20 years ago about concentrating in the Word of God. And it's only been the last recently that she's fully understanding, or not fully, if anything, fully or not, but she's, you know, and wanting to abide, yeah, in God's word. So it shouldn't be disappointing that you bring the things of God to someone. If that person doesn't receive it right now, just still rejoice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because what do we know? What do we know of what God's plan is? Mm-hmm. We know nothing. You know what I mean? We gotta do what, if God opens the door, we go through it, and if it looks like a ditch, who cares? You know what I mean?
Well, we've talked about in the past where it's hard to use the word God and time,
mm-hmm,
and make those connect, because it doesn't really work, because God is timeless. And so it's interesting. So if it takes 50 years for a person A,
mm-hmm,
to get this revelation,
right,
God can make that so person B gets a revelation in 15 seconds.
Right, right.
And I think the only thing that we're really required to do is keep seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's God who reveals, and it's God in His time, not our time.
Right.
And all you can do is put yourself in the place to be looking.
Yeah.
Beyond that, you know, because, as we like to say, hey, I was reading the Bible today and there was this new scripture.
Right. Yeah.
And we read scripture X, and all of a sudden we go, I didn't know that scripture was there before. And not only that, I didn't know it meant what I now know it means.
Right.
And nothing's changed.
Right.
Except God has shown you at that time. And so 50 years or 50 seconds in God's economy, it doesn't matter. It's really, if your heart is willing to find and look for Him, you'll get there.
Mm-hmm. Even if your heart is not there.
Well, he's always working for your heart to get there too.
Right. I mean, it's just think of Paul. He was a murderer of Christians. You know what I mean? I don't think it would be worse that besides like eating babies. You know what I mean? That's in God's plan.
That must be a Chilean reference. I don't know.
I just made it up. It's just that a Christian murderer is this as bad as it gets in the eyes of God. You know, yeah, I would imagine. You know.
And that's, you know, it's maybe a segue, but I think you're exactly right. But I think God also had a plan for Paul.
Yeah.
And he chose what the people felt were like the worst possible person.
Right.
And what does that show? It kind of shows the depth of God's mercy and grace.
Yeah.
And what level of sins and misdeeds he covers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as you say, could he have picked a worse person based on how in the natural we would judge it or look at it, and we go, probably not. We would have been on the list.
Yeah.
And God showed him and turned him.
Yeah. People, they have an issue with that, though, for a little bit.
They struggled.
Yeah. Even the Christians. He was killing our brothers and sisters. Now he's preaching to us about Jesus Christ.
Yeah. That's significant, that whole Damascus Road experience and how, you know, when God wants to shine light, he can overcome a lot of things.
Yeah.
Who was that comedian then?
Jim Gaffigan, that you were watching. Yeah.
You know who he is?
Maybe.
Anyway, he was talking about his great appetite. He kind of eats everything in sight, you know. And partway through this whole thing, he says, I have 5 children, he says. I used to have more, but I ate them. Anyway.
That's funny. But I guess back to your bigger point, though. Nothing is too big for God, and it doesn't matter how long it takes in the natural.
Right.
If it's God's plan, it's going to happen.
Right.
Which is encouraging to me because I listen to Keith quote chapter and verse like a computer. And I go, I don't have enough days left on earth that I could get to.
Right.
Oh, I mean, Keith, where does it say? And he give him 3 words and he, it's right here, John. I shake my head and I go, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's God given talent. I go, let me get my phone out here and see if I can.
I don't think I'd ever be there because I mainly listen. So I could never, you know what I mean? This is towards the end of the New Testament, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. No, knowing what's in there is probably better than not knowing what's in there.
Right.
But they do say knowing where it's in there to help in an arc in a discussion is even better. But I've always been, you know, in the natural, I kind of go, I wish I could do that.
Mm-hmm. 50 years helps.
Well, yeah, you probably have forgotten more scripture than most people know. I think that's...
I don't have a memory for a lot of things, but God did bless me with a memory for a lot of the scriptures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it is. Yeah. It's a, you know, God-given ability.
And of course, it helps. You know, the Bible says that in order to come to God, you must believe that He is.
Mm-hmm.
And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, somehow we have to come to a place where God becomes a reality. And that happened. You know, that's happened to me a number of times, and that makes a lot of difference. God is real. There's a God. He's invisible. He's not like anything that we're familiar with. And he's everywhere present. He has a soul, like we do. I mean, it says that if we don't, whatever, he says, my soul will not be pleased with him. So he's made us in his image, but not as a physical thing. He's not a man. He's not a person like we are. And so, but there is a really a God, who, and he is invisible, and he makes himself known to whoever wants to find him. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the case. And I have seen enough in my 50 some years of Christianity to convince any court in the land of what of the reality of God. And yet that only benefits me.
Right.
You know what I mean? That only benefits me. But like, you know, Tammy knows all that. Tammy knows, you know, she lived with us for a while. And so she knows, you know, what it, and she has seen some of these things herself. And, but anyway.
You know, sometimes I think about Paul when you were saying about it, the road to Damascus or whatever. That's a unique experience because I don't know however God got a hold of him. I don't think he's known that God has done something like that to any other person, like in the way he manifested himself to, see, after Jesus rose from the dead, after Jesus was rose back up, you know, he rose up, you would think that it would always be like it is right now, but Paul had a unique experience, and I wonder, well, is it really a unique experience? Was it, has it happened to someone else like that, or?
Well, other kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other kinds of things have happened.
Right.
Nothing exactly like that, yeah. That I'm familiar with. But.
Well, nothing that's been recorded.
Right.
But I think your question is, what other testimonies are out there that God has done to turn around someone's life?
Well, not so much, but the way he managed, because Paul now, see, in the Old Testament, you can see that the prophets are having a dialogue, basically, with God. It goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm saying, there's a communication like that. And then you don't see that anymore in the New Testament, really, as a dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, God said, and then the prophet said, and then God said. And then, but then with Paul, now it was Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
Not that there's a difference, but so then, why are you kicking against the goats? Well, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, well, who are you, Lord? So there's a dialogue.
Yeah.
It's a different manifestation of Jesus,
mm-hmm.
than we've been familiar.
Well, maybe I'm extrapolating too much, but Old Testament, before Christ, God having a conversation with the prophets was because Jesus hadn't become the way.
Right.
After Christ, the way to God is through
yes.
Jesus, and isn't am I remembering this correctly, that after it was Jesus and Paul, the 40 days after the experience on the Damascus Road, that Jesus and Paul communed?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it wasn't like Paul and God.
No,
it was Paul and Jesus.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah,
no, yes, yes. So my, but what I'm saying is there was a conversation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
What, there wasn't just like an instruction, that, say, I heard a voice, or an instruction, or I felt something. There wasn't actually a conversation, a dialogue.
Well, Moses talking to God all the time.
Right.
For all the time might be a stretch, but, you know, he knew where he was, and he would go up the mountain, and he'd pray, and, you know, right. But then after Christ that kind of like Jesus is put here and he's our way to God because he ended up being the perfect sacrifice. So
I wonder if where it's written, you know, when Jesus and Paul had this, you know, dialogue, or maybe not a dialogue, but it seems to be like a dialogue, as in, you know, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Was it really, you know, a dialogue like that, or just it was just written like that, just so it could be written and understood? But maybe it wasn't quite like that.
Yeah. Was it brain to brain? Was it more energy than vocal? Yeah. More spiritual than physical.
Yeah, but yeah. Did he see?
It
doesn't say.
It's kind of left to
I mean, we obviously received the instructions. You know what I mean? So, you know, I heard, you know, God said, and I did. And mm-hmm. if you didn't hear a voice, or you were just led to, you know, or made to, or you had no other option, but, you know, but it's just sometimes I wonder that Paul had that experience in, I mean, I don't need to have that experience. I don't know why.
But it's interesting, because even at that experience, Paul was the one that heard voices.
Right.
And other people saw lights and heard what they thought was thunder and didn't perceive it as, like, conversation or instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And on one hand, you got to go, well, was Paul closer, heart was more aligned, or was Paul the one that God said he is going to be the one that talks to the Gentiles?
I think that's the
latter.
I think that's the way.
Yeah.
I have no way of knowing for sure.
It certainly didn't seem like in the natural there was anything meritorious in Paul's approach to Christians or his approach against Christianity. So, and in spite of that, God was able to reach him and convince him that he was on the wrong path, then this is the right path.
Yeah, I wouldn't have looked at him as the one that was the most likely to succeed. You know,
most likely to be chosen to be used as by God. Yeah. Yeah, in fact, we go the other way, right? Most likely not to be used.
Yeah, he's in his yearbook.
Yeah, most likely not to be used.
Right.
Yeah, but it's interesting, even at the same time, different people perceive different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that may have been by design, or it might have been because of where they're at, but it was what God wanted to happen.
But anyway, God has a way of making himself known.
Yeah.
He has a way of doing it, and that's nobody can make him known, but he has a way of making himself known if we just want him to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different, you know. Every situation is different. Mine was different than, you know. When my wife and I first got married, we ended up with three little boys, you know. Right after, we only had Dale was just a year old, and we ended up with three boys, and. Every night we'd read the Bible. I don't know why, but we'd read the Bible to them, and we did that for a number of years. And so maybe God saw something in there that was workable. I don't know what the thing was, and then God changed our whole course of our life. And that was about 1970 or something, 69, 70. I'm not even sure, it was in that area. And whatever we had before, it's never been the same since. And so, anyway, I never expected to be a minister. It was not my... I was a cameraman and a printing setup. And next thing I knew, things were happening. And I didn't set it up, but God did. That's the way he works.
God's in charge.
Yeah, and Corky should not be a part of where he is today, except God did something. I look at him sometimes, even Ken and Charlie and Pablo and, you know, the other one, I think, where did these guys come from? They just kind of developed out of the woodwork here somewhere. But I tell you what, God had to bless me through these guys. What a blessing.
Without observation.
Huh?
Without observation.
Yeah, it comes without observation.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Which is, it's been encouraging though. I mean, on the flip side, because you see things in people. And sometimes it's much easier to see things in other people than to recognize it's happening in you. And I would just echo what you said, that the changes that the people that I spend time with and have conversations with over the last 10 years has been amazing.
I mentioned about Timmy, but I got a couple other things that happened yesterday. And last night I got a telephone call, which I don't normally take. It was like a 944 or something, but it had a 205 number in the front, which meant it was the east or the west coast. And so, I mean, because I got, you know, children that live out there. And so I answered it, and it was Joe Frisco. Remember Joe Frisco?
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, and we had a really, really, really good talk. You know, I haven't had a good chance to talk to him, but Joe Frisco is without the Bible College, and it cost this church $1,000 to send him. That's kind of funny, but we went up to the fairgrounds. Were you part of that in those days?
I spent some time at the fairgrounds in the Big Ten.
We paid $1,000 to rent a space to advertise. We're kind of advertising our church, I guess. I don't know. And anyway, and we sang and so forth, but you know what? Nothing really ever happened that I know of, except for Joe Frisco. And and anyway, he liked our Shelley. But Shelley wasn't really that. I mean, she liked him, but I mean, it's like after Shelley got married, we used to tease Candy, and she was about 13 or so, about Felicity's age, about Joe Frisco. And anyway, and Candy, she said, you know what? She says, Joe Frisco is not Shelley's type, and he's not mine either. Of course, he was a lot older, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I had a good conversation with him, and then the other one was Leroy Matthews. And I talked to him about listening to the scriptures 2 years ago. And he'd been trying to call me, and I didn't recognize the number, and so I had never answered it, see. And but he said that he's been listening to the scriptures, and they're transforming his life. That's what he said. He said, I'm getting so I can't do anything without listening to him. He said, I just keep him going. And I thought, why is it that I have to have them go? Because I love them. Because they exist in a different realm than what I've been familiar with. You know? Their life.
They feed our spirit in ways that we don't really perceive.
Yeah.
Yet, you know.
Usually when you have the other guys here, we got more conversation.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we have a lot, even miss a handful, whatever.
Yeah.
this winter needs to be over.
Yeah. Glad you guys came over.
Yeah. No, it's good.
It's kind of foreign, probably, but we're kind of foreign.
You want
especially to Chuck.
You,
yeah.
Do you want to stop the tape?
Pardon?
Do you want to stop the tape then?
We can, sure.
I thought you were asking Chuck. I don't think we're going to answer.